What up? It's Mara Lopez. Joining me now in studio, Emmy-nominated actor, the iconic Mr. Rob Lowe. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good to see you. I'm seeing you, even though it's radio.
I'm in the flesh right now. Rob, you know, man, I'm a big fan. I've gotten to know you and such a cool guy. And so much I want to talk about. But first of all, congratulations on Code Black. That's wrapping up season two. I got to meet the cast prior because you recently joined.
Right.
But what's in store for the finale?
It's a two-parter, first of all, which is always exciting.
Cool.
And it's just a huge, gigantic. I mean, it's funny. I've done, you know, movies and television, all of it. And the amount of like money and scope and special effects and action that we did on this TV show, just mind-blowing. It's just a huge episode where there is a contagious virus that we have to shut down the hospital and set up hot zones. And it's a lot. And it's good. It's really cool.
You play a military doctor.
And by the way, somebody dies.
Somebody dies.
Lost in the mix of this is, you know, like on the old days of ER when they used to hit you with, "A hero will fall."
Right. That guy was awesome. That guy was awesome. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, a hero will fall.
Ooh, okay. That's a tease. That's a good tease right there.
Yeah.
Well, we know you're surviving. You're not going anywhere.
You don't know. You don't know.
With that delivery, I'm going to go on a limb and say you're sticking around. But playing a military doc, did you spend any time with like military surgeons? Is there a huge difference in the medical field?
Yeah, there is. The thing that's that I found in my research that was fascinating is that when you're talking about trauma in the medical world, all of the latest intel techniques and information is coming out of the military because we've been at war for 16 years when you think about it.
Right.
So we're learning more about medicine on the battlefield than we're learning anywhere else. So I play a member of the Critical Care Combat Unit, which is an actual part of the Army medical team. And they're bringing their field research now into civilian life. And it's really cool to be able to portray, you know, these real life heroes.
That's cool. Are you in town shooting that? You shoot that here in LA?
We shoot it here and, you know, all around LA. But, you know, we're at the Disney lot, which is great, on the fourth biggest soundstage in North America. Because we have our set, which is an exact replica of the old LA County Hospital, is 30,000 square feet.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You've been very fortunate where you've shot a lot in town, right? As opposed to have you spent time in Canada for long periods of time for shows though? For the most part, you've been here in LA, right?
For TV, I only shoot here in LA for the most part. Because you know, my family's here and I've been lucky enough to have the ability to kind of mandate that. But you're right. So more and more shows are going to Canada.
Yeah.
But I've been here since the West Wing and want to stay here. I love California. Yeah, I love my home.
Are you still spending most of the time in Santa Barbara?
I commute every day.
Really?
Every day.
Well, if you got to see Rob's house, which I've had the pleasure of seeing one time, I'd commute every day too.
Right. That worth it.
Oh my gosh. It's totally worth it. So in a world of difference, only being about an hour and a half north, right?
I mean, that's basically it. You know, with today's traffic, if you lived on the, you know, Santa Monica, it could take you an hour and 10 minutes easy to get to Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So for an extra 20 minutes, I'm in Santa Barbara.
Put on a good podcast or listen to some good tunes and there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. I make really good use of the time.
Are you on the phone? Are you listening to shows? Or?
The good news is because I do it every day, and it's you know, it's 200 miles a day.
Wow.
So I have a driver because I would just be too worn out. And in the morning, I sleep.
Oh, there
and,
you go.
And I literally, I'm asleep before we pull out of my driveway.
Really?
Which is great.
Yeah.
So that's a whole extra hour and a half I get.
Yeah.
And then on the way home, it's work. It's working on the scenes for the next day. It's working on the other projects that I have, making phone calls, all that kind of stuff.
So great, man. You're being productive about it.
Yeah.
You're part of this new movie, Monster Trucks.
Yeah.
My son. So that is so cool to hear because we're fired up. We have to check it out. And you're playing a villain, right?
Yeah. No.
You're playing the bad guy?
I played a villain and I based the voice on Jerry Jones from the Dallas Cowboys. And I based the look on Rick Perry when he was running for president. I'm a Texan, so I picked who are like the iconic Texans,
right?
You know, that everybody knows. So yeah, so I like to steal things from people, you know, whenever I can. And Jerry Jones, instead of saying the word school, always says skoo.
Yeah. He's in Arkansas.
Yeah, he's like, well, you know, where I went to school.
Where I went to school.
So I...
He rides that boat.
I stole that little bit.
And you're also part of the comedy Super Troopers 2?
Dude. Okay. Let's just discuss Super Troopers. How great is that movie?
We were just trying to figure out when was Super Troopers? When did it... It's been years.
Years.
Right? 90s?
I think I was in high school when it came out. And that was the late 90s.
Super Troopers was it's been... forever. And you know what? It reminds me a little bit of Anchorman.
Yeah.
In that it's a movie that came out. People liked it. Unbelievably underground. Unbelievably cult. But over the years, it's become a sort of obsession. And people have tried to do and thought about doing a sequel forever. And the Broken Lizard guys, which are the comedy troupe that did it, did it by, crowdsourcing.
Huh.
So... it is finally happening. It's so funny.
Fun.
I cannot wait. And talking about Canada, I play a Canadian in it, which is really fun. I've spent a lot of time in Canada.
Who did you channel?
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, I love Canadians. I love, love, love them. Like anywhere, they're like Americans. They're smart Americans. They're dumb Americans. They're smart Canadians. They're dumb Canadians. I play a ridiculously stupid Canadian.
And that's even better.
That sounds hilarious already.
Yeah. So I had to do things where I went, wait a minute, do I sound like I'm doing, who is it? Get out of here, you hoser. What was that thing from the game?
Oh,
Doug and Bob McKenzie.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Cause the accent's great.
Yeah.
The accent's
I play so a small town Canadian mayor and it's really fun.
That's awesome, man. I know you embrace the comedy, which is great. Yeah. I follow you on social media, Rob, and on Instagram you've been teasing the secret project.
Yeah.
So what can you tell us about it without giving it away?
It's hard to say because it is legitimately a secret project.
In what realm is it in? The TV, film, book world?
It's a limited TV series.
Ah.
And it's
those have been great as of late.
It's been a lifelong passion.
Okay.
And I have a major partner in it, a major network that we will announce when the time is right. But we're kind of doing it under the radar because when you know the subject matter, you'll understand. But It's really, really fun. And it's been keeping me very busy.
When are you going to be at the point where you can discuss it?
I would say I'd say within the next few weeks, but it's weeks, not days.
Okay.
I'll give you our number. You can call us.
Well, good luck. Yes. Sure. We'll have to,
but I'm going to keep teasing it. There's a lot of people who've been online, have come very close to figuring out what it is.
Okay, now we're going to have to put on our Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and try to figure it out right there. Yeah. And I also read in an interview that you were discussing, or maybe it was just a rumor about the possibility of a reunion on West Wing.
Well, I'm always up for that. Yeah. I think that with there being so much talk about politics today, that people always find the West Wing whenever people are losing their minds politically, they always kind of, it's like comfort food. Mm-hmm. West Wing is political comfort food. Mm-hmm. And so people are revisiting it again, which always makes me happy. And I think, you know, with Will and Grace coming back on NBC, I started thinking about, well, geez, if they can bring Will and Grace back.
Timing would be
come on,
perfect.
Come on, yo.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, what's up? Greenblatt. Let's get on.
Exactly.
Right over NBC. When I follow, you're very clever how you, I'm trying to be careful how to word this, and it's so silly that I have to do that, but I'm a conservative guy. I always say that, and I'm proud to say that. I know in Hollywood it's very, it's almost sort of taboo.
Enjoy staying on radio, Mario.
Yeah. No, I say that all the time. I don't necessarily.
Breaking news, Extra just canceled.
Yeah, exactly. Extra just canceled. But I say that all the time. But I mean, I think it's fair to say, and I don't want to label anyone, but I agree with a lot of your statements. Let's just say that. And you recently were tweeting about the airport protests, and it drew a lot of reactions, I see, because people's the comments are always there. So were people misinterpreting your words, or what's your take?
I don't think so. I mean, look, I'm really careful about Twitter. I mean, I will definitely tweet in fits of indignation and being angry or being happy. So it's not, my Twitter is real. It's me. It's not a publicity thing. It's not a studio doing it. It's not a staff. I want it to be emblematic of who I really, really am. But that said, there's nothing I put up there that I don't back up. And people sometimes read stuff into it that's about them.
Right.
It's not about me.
They always make
it
personal.
And it's not even about what I'm saying. And what I said in the airport was I watched grandmothers and little kids have to drag their luggage for miles just to get home. I did. That's what I saw. Did I not see it? I'm sorry. I didn't say anything about the protests, good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just talking about, you know, the inconvenience.
Your observation.
Yeah, exactly.
You call it as you see it, which is great.
Well, yeah, I made the same observation the other day. I said, look, everyone has a right to express themselves how they want, the right to protest and what have you. But how does blocking a freeway or inconveniencing people who are trying to either see their sick parent or going to be late for a job, or how does that, there's no sympathy for them? And I made the same sort of comparison, but it's very true.
Yeah.
People don't like the truth, though, Rob, if it's going to mess with their narrative.
No, believe me.
Facts are inconvenient.
Like facts are inconvenient, and people are very tolerant until it doesn't agree with their ideology.
Yeah, I got a good dose of everybody of what the tolerant crowd felt
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Your boys are how old now?
Matthew is 22. Just turned 23. Forgive me. Matthew's 23 and John Owen's 21.
Wow, full-on adults.
I know.
Like you can party with your boys.
Oh, and I actually went to a bar with them this weekend.
Yeah.
And watched them just sitting there drinking their beer like men. You know, I of course had my my sparkling water as I do. But yeah, they're men.
Wow, what are they into?
Well, Matthew's in law school.
Oh,
so he's in the thick of it. I mean, legitimately, if he isn't in a library studying, he's sleeping.
Yeah, he's consumed.
And John Owen is a junior at Stanford, and that's pretty rigorous up there as well. So
look at that.
They're still
a good job.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm very proud of them. I really am. They're great citizens. They're decent, hardworking, regular kids, you know, and who happen to be kind of smart.
That's cool, man. That's very cool. Santa Barbara influence right there, too.
It is. You got that right.
One just random question. How bad for Ann Coulter did you feel at the roast?
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe she subjected herself to that.
I wanted somebody political on the dais, right? And there were a lot of names being bandied about. And I thought, Anne's really political. She's really controversial. She'll be a lightning rod. I had no idea it would turn out the way it did. I did have a sense when the writers, by the way, who are genius. They're so funny. Yeah. So mean.
Right.
But so funny. They gave Anne some great stuff. And she's like, no, I don't want any of that. I'm going to do my own thing.
Ooh.
And we were like, oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But no, it's the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, that roast has become, I think, Comedy Central's most watched, most downloaded roast ever.
It was fantastic.
Is it wrong to say I had a blast? Because I did.
No, it's awesome. That's cool, man. That's cool.
My thing is, at this point, I'm in this 40 years. It's like people know me. They know what I'm about. There's no mystery anymore. You know, it's like, bring it.
Yeah,
it was great. I had such a good time.
Yeah, we're trying to convince Mario to do it.
Dude, you have to do it. It's so fun.
Yeah, I think I'm working on it. They can still dig a little deep right now.
Yeah, I know, right?
We'll talk later about
that.
All right, before I let you go, just I want to put you on the spot. Quick questions, quick answers.
Yeah,
all right. Go-to karaoke song.
Oh, Sweet Caroline.
Classic. First show on your DVR.
Ooh.
Aside from Code Black, of course.
Finding Bigfoot.
Oh.
How many people
like
get
eight seasons? They've never found anything.
11.
They're 11.
They're 11 seasons in with a two-part season opener, and they've never found Bigfoot.
Nothing.
So what does that tell
you? But they're
all
experts.
You?
They know he loves bacon.
Well, they're riveting storytelling at some point. And, right. Oh, wow.
You can see my intellectual firepower.
Yeah, I like that. You got to
balance. That's what I'm watching.
Apparently mine.
Yeah.
Celebrity crush growing up.
Daphne on Scooby-Doo.
You went, that's our first animated.
That's good.
Answer. Okay.
Listen, I also like the cute cat on the Aristocats.
Yeah. I like that. Wide range. Your very first car.
Oh, God, this is so lame. A Mazda 626.
Oh,
nice.
That is lame, but it's cool with the honesty. I like it, a Mazda. Last one. Who do you cast to play you in your life story?
Ooh, jeez. I don't know, man.
That one kid that was in here, we going I told with, him he looked like a young
going
Rob
with,
Lowe.
Are we going with Zac Efron? Are we going with Ian Somerhalder?
Yeah, that's it. That's oh, a kid. Yes, Ian Somerhalder. Yes, yes. Yeah, looked like him too. Right, right. Either one of those would be great.
I think
Ian's been auditioning for a while.
Right. Cold as ice.
Do we do a little face work on old Johnny Stamos? Give him a bone?
You and John,
I'm cold as ice.
You and John Stamos are in the particular. I don't know if I could add anyone else to that category, though, who just get right. I mean, they don't age, or you age, you get better looking with the age, which is cool, man. So I hope to aspire to join that group one of these days. Listen, in the meanwhile, you can watch Code Black Wednesdays on CBS, and you can follow him at Twitter, who it really is him, @Rob Lowe. Thanks for stopping by, man.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
On with Mario Lopez.